Appreciate the prayer. Ask your continued interest in your prayers. If you'd like to turn with us to the text that we'll be using this morning, you'll find it in Colossians chapter 1. I had the privilege of being with Little Vine Church yesterday and enjoying the meeting there, and we tried to speak some from this, and this just hasn't left me. So I have to follow the leadership of the Spirit and speak on those things which I feel like it would be good, and trust that the Lord has a reason for these messages to be heard. And I may never know just why certain messages are preached, but I know that God can take it and feed the hearts of His people wherever they are, whatever that situation is. And so I can trust perfectly in the Lord for His help. While you're turning to the book of Colossians, I want to notice how this book begins and how the Apostle Paul is led to address the church at Colossae. He says in verse 2, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae." To the saints and faithful brethren. How many saints do we have here today? I don't see a single hand. Am I at the wrong place? I know that our idea of a saint is somebody that you want to lift up and put on a pedestal. You know, some people believe that you can elect somebody to sainthood. Well, that's their way of thinking. Let's think biblically for a little while here. To think biblically about what saints are the word saint is a shortened version of the word sanctified. In other words, those who are God's people. So let me ask the question again. Is there any saints here today? Thank you. At least we got a few. God's people. They are saints because they're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus came and suffered and died to redeem us from our sins. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We are His people. If we're His people, we always will be His people. To the saints and faithful. Now we get to something subjective. Now we get to, are we faithful? Now that can vary greatly, can't it? That can be a whole nother story. I think yesterday I quoted that little quip that sometimes, I know I've said it here before. I heard it first from Chuck Swindoll on the radio. I'm sure he heard it from somebody else. But, you know, the saying goes, to dwell above with saints in love will all be grace and glory. But to dwell below with saints we know can be another story. That's true, isn't it? With all of us. With all of us. God in His mercy. The Spirit led Paul to write to this church. And writing to them, saying to the saints and faithful. Now we may have our heartstrings tugged at sometimes when we think about how many times we've been unfaithful to the Lord. If faithfulness is what gets us to heaven, I might as well give up right now. Now I'm thankful that He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, and I have that desire to get up and go again. But when I understand that it's the saints, those that are in Christ, those who have the benefit of what Christ did for them, who can never be separated from His love, now I can rejoice in that, can't you? I mean, well, that's what puts wind in our sails when we remember what we have awaiting us in heaven, what Christ has accomplished for us, and that it'll never be taken away from us. And so we understand that if we're His child, bless your hearts, we'll be His child and we'll be with Him in glory when that time comes. But our job as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ is also to be faithful to Him while we walk here in this life. We've got a job to do, don't we? And I'm afraid that sometimes we fall down on the job. And in my lifetime, there's never been a greater time for us to be faithful to the Lord than right now. Now, it's always been time to be faithful to Him. But the need that we have in our culture today is more and more needful that God's people stand up and be counted as faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are influences coming into our culture that want to take away our Christian liberties because they're going to take over, or they want to take over, control of everything about our nation. Do you believe that? I hope you do, because if you don't see that happening around about you, I'd encourage you to pay a little more attention to current events. Now, God is able to stop those things. God is able to turn things around in an instant. And I'm seeing some encouraging things on the horizon that's starting to happen that I wondered if we'd ever have any opportunity to turn some of these things around. But I also believe that it's time for us to get on our knees and be begging God. Begging God for His mercy. Begging God for His perfect will to be done. You know, I've just about stopped asking the Lord what I want to see in this nation. Because He has every reason to judge this nation because of the laws that have been passed and the way things are happening in this country today. He has every reason to do that. And our only plea is just like any other time. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon us and help us. But at the same time, we need to be faithful to Him and whatever we can so that we can show forth His praises, who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's our job as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so Paul's writing now to the saints. That's God's people. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. All right? Faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. If he were writing today, he could write to Piney Grove. He could write to whatever. All right? Paul says we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. We're going to see, because very quickly here in these verses, we're going to come to a prayer. One of the prayers of the Apostle Paul. Now, his prayer, if the Holy Spirit is attending this prayer, then that prayer is no better than any other that the Spirit attends. But here we find this man, the Apostle Paul, who was so faithful in preaching the gospel and going about and establishing churches and trying to do God's will. We need to pay attention to what this prayer is telling us. All right? So, he thanked the Lord for those brethren. Let's see, he says, let me just quickly read through, verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Let's pause right there. He's thanking God and he's thankful for their faith. All right? Well, we know that faith comes when you're born again. That ability to believe comes by the presence of the Spirit within you. All right, we're able to lay hold upon these things because there's faith there to do that. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man has no desire for God. The natural man has no desire to be faithful to God. But when God sends us His Spirit to the hearts of His people, working in them both to will and to do of His good pleasure, then they have the desire to please God. Paul is writing, he's heard a good report from these brethren. He's heard the report that they're being faithful, that they're showing love to all the saints. Now, that's what I wanted to pause on right there. Love to all the saints. Now, I hope you were listening when we established who it is that are the saints. All right? It's God's people. Not that they've just been so good that we want to put them up on a pedestal. That's our common idea of a saint. A saint is those that are sanctified in Christ, chosen in Him, saved by him, redeemed by his blood, preserved in him, and will be with him in glory. That's the saints. Don't you hope that you're one of them? Absolutely. All right. So I guess I am in the right place. All right. But now, he says, these brethren at Colossae, he had heard of their faith, and he thanked God for their faith, because that's just an evidence that they are a saint, and their love to all the brethren. Is that us? Love to all the saints? I guess I said brethren, but the text says saints. Love to all the saints. In other words, if a person is a child of God, do you have a love for that person? I sure hope so. You might say, well, they don't deserve it. Well, you didn't either. I didn't either. We didn't deserve. That's what grace is all about. God had mercy upon us and gave us grace through his Son, and has communicated that to us by giving us his Spirit and awakening us to the spiritual world. And part of that is then that we are to be faithful to God. We are to bear fruit of that faith which is in us, because faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit. All right. And that love is to be to all the saints. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. If I can get there. All right. Listen, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? The Christ is the Messiah. The Christ is the Savior. You know, when Jesus asked his apostles that question, whom say ye that I, what think ye of Christ? That's the other question I was looking for. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? When Jesus asked that question, he wasn't saying, what do you think of Jesus? Jesus is that man that was born of the virgin. Now, I understand, he's the God-man. But Jesus, Savior, is when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But when he's saying, what think ye of Christ? He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about that one that was promised that would come. That one that was promised that would be born of a virgin. That one who would be Emmanuel, God with us. All right? He's the one that saved us from our sins. All right? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. A lot of people believe that Jesus was a good man. A lot of people believe that he was a prophet. Among the Muslims, they think he was a prophet. But they'll get fighting mad with you if you suggest that he's the Son of God. Do you believe that he's the Son of God? Yes. Thank you. He is the Son of God. And we need to honor him as such. All right? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ can be born again. No, that's not what it says, is it? It's too late, isn't it? It says that they are. He says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Because that ability to believe comes in the new birth. All right? So, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, that's God who has begotten you, isn't it? Everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now that's what he's saying here. If you love God, why do you love God? Scriptures are plain in that, aren't they? All right? 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Do you love God? It's because he loved you first. And if you love God, then you are to love all his people who also love him. Now that's tough sometimes, isn't it? All right? But thankfully, more times than not, it's wonderful to be among the people of God who love the people of God, who love the things of God, who want to see this world to be a better place, who want to see people being faithful to Him and serving Him and walking in paths of love and thanksgiving. That's what we want, isn't it? And we want all of God's people to walk in that same way and rejoice in these things with us. What a blessing God has given us, the church, that we can enjoy these things. And so as Paul writes to the church at Colossae, that's the report that he's gotten, that he's heard of their faith and of their love to all the saints. That's a good model to follow, isn't it? All right? Their love to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The only reason that spiritual fruit comes forth is because the grace of God has been shown unto us. Now, so much we could say about that, but I want to get down to, really I'm working down to toward verse 9. But he says also, verse 7, he talks about the faithful pastor that they had and had taught them these things, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit, verse 8. All right, verse 9, for this cause, Paul's laid a foundation, what he's heard, the report that he's heard of these brethren, their faith, their love, their hope. Those are three tremendous things, aren't they? Faith, love, and hope. Do you have a hope of heaven? Now, some people say, well, I want more than a hope. Well, that's all we got right now. But if you understand what biblical hope is all about, it's not just a wish. It's a persuasion. It's an assurance that's based upon evidence. Romans chapter 8 tells us, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. All right, so if you feel the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are a saint. You are one of His children. And it's incumbent upon you to be faithful to Him and do what He says in His Word. So Paul says, for this cause, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, I'm going to dwell on this just a moment. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now let's get some words. I know we've talked about over in Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul talks about, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That filled with the Spirit in Ephesians, where it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What Paul is talking about there is somebody that's drunk on wine is under the influence of wine. And he says, don't be that way, but be filled with the Spirit. Be under the influence of the Spirit. And we're talking about in a good way. We're talking about as we live our lives, as we have to make choices, it ought to be just second nature. It just ought to be automatic to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what does your word say? How does your word guide me in this matter so that I can make my decision that's according to what your word says so I can please you? That's what Paul is talking about to the Ephesian brethren, to be filled with the Spirit. But this one, although it's working in the same direction, this is a little different application of that being filled. When he says here that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, filled with the knowledge of His will. Let me illustrate it this way. Yesterday, I know some of you still bake cakes. I was visiting yesterday, and I wasn't sure anybody there even made it. And so I said, back in the day. But I know some of you still do. But anyway, When you make a cake, you bake that cake, say a layer cake, and you're going to put that icing on there. Sister Jemima, when she makes a cake and puts that icing on there, do you think she just slaps it across the top once and then hits it on the side a couple of times and say, it's done? I've seen cakes like that, haven't you? You know, you can tell, I like all, icing all over it. All right? Here's the point. To be filled with the knowledge of His will is to fill in all the gaps. Cover it. Okay? Think about that cake and going back over it and making sure it's smooth and just like you want it. And all the gaps are filled in. Do you have any gaps in your understanding of the will of God? I do. Oh, I got lots of them. But what we need, and Paul was praying for this church, they were already demonstrating a great blessing of loving God and loving one another, and they were showing manifestation of their faith. But Paul knew that was a young church, and Paul knew that they needed to fill in some gaps in their understanding of the will of God. And that's what he's praying for here. And every one of us here needs that. We all need to be filled. Some of you may need different gaps filled than others. I may need different gaps filled than you. But we all need that. There's all of us have some need, some gap in our understanding of the will of God. Do we have a desire to fill in the gaps? Or are we just content with the way it is? You'll have to answer that. I can't. But I'm going to tell you, the joy is awaiting. If you'll begin to fill in those gaps, how are we going to do that? Sure, preacher, I'd love to do that, but how do I do that? Well, keep reading. All right? He says that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, to a great extent, this wisdom that he's talking about here is the Word of God. Are you surprised? The Word of God. That's what we need if we're going to fill in the gaps of our understanding. All right? Now, you say, well, why would you say that? Doesn't God have more wisdom than he's put in his word? Well, I'll answer that this way. God has given us all we need to know for now in his word. This, today, is the lips of God. God has revealed his will to us in his word. And what a blessing that we have it in our language. What a blessing that we're educated enough to read it. What a blessing that it's available to us. And if there's anybody here that can't afford a Bible or for some reason haven't been able to get one and you want one, let me know. We can take care of that problem. But a even greater problem is that there's so many Bibles that are just collecting dust. Somebody might be saying, well, no, preacher, I got a cover on mine. Yeah. And the cover's collecting dust. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, I won't get into the text of it, but Jesus made the statement one time, thus saith the wisdom of God. And he went on to quote scripture. That's a Luke 11:49 if you're looking for it. But the point I'm making is Jesus said, thus saith the wisdom of God. and he's quoting Scripture. That tells me that the Scriptures of the Bible is the wisdom of God. It's inspired. And if God took time to inspire it, I believe, I'm persuaded, and everything that I can see indicates that it is free of error. Now, I'm not saying that your publisher wouldn't have made a typo. I'm not saying that there might be some error in the workmanship of putting it down. But what I'm saying is, when God gave his word, he gave it without error. And the more I've studied over the years, the more I'm convinced that the hand of providence was working mightily when the King James was brought into the King James translation was made so that the Word of God was brought into the English language. I have not, in all the years that I've been studying that, I have not found one thing that would cause me to think that maybe it's not. And so I'm thankful. And you just think of the impact that the King James translations had upon generation after generation. All right, so we have the Word of God. So getting back to the idea that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Where is that going to come from? From the Word of God. Granted, if you're studying it properly, then when you approach the Word of God, you're going to approach it prayerfully. And say, Lord, help me to understand when I'm reading your word. I have to do that. And don't approach it like some novel. Don't expect it to end up with, and they all lived happily ever after. I don't think they even write books like that anymore, do you? But this one does, by the way. it does speak of the victory that we have. But getting back to the subject, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. When you read the Bible, when you read what God has done, when you read what pleases God, when you read what displeases God, you're learning about the will of God. We need to know that, don't we? One that came after me, he talked about from Isaiah 55, where my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Does that tell you something about the danger of taking your ideas and approaching your understanding of the Word of God? We need God's way of thinking, don't we? We need to say, Lord, would you show me what you know I'm going to need today? And it is amazing how quickly he will answer that prayer. It is amazing how completely God will answer such a prayer as that. When you ask him, understanding that he's our loving heavenly Father, he knows everything. And what we ask sometimes is, we ask amiss. If we ask at all. You know, James says, you have not because you ask not. So sometimes we ask incorrectly. Sometimes we don't even bother to ask. And oftentimes we just don't know what to ask for. But he knows what we need. He knows perfectly what we need. And so if we just simply say, Lord, show me what I need to know. It's amazing how many scriptures the Spirit can take and open up to you and feed you according to what you needed. I mean, sometimes there's lessons in books of the Bible that you wouldn't expect to see them there. And we don't understand a lot of it. And there's more there than we'll ever understand. But we need to be, and Paul's praying for this church because he knew they needed it. We need to be aware that we need it. We need to be filled with the knowledge of his will. How many times are we filled with other things? Other things. Things that won't profit us a bit. A little while from now. There's a danger. There's a deadly deception in our mind being, in our heart being filled with the things of this world. We may think it's fun now, and it may bring instant gratification, but they're going to be empty things. They're going to be things that's not going to profit very long. We need the understanding of God's will so that we can walk in it. Because, you see, there's where the fellowship's going to be. There's where the faithfulness is going to be. We're saints. If indeed we're chosen in Christ, if Christ redeemed us, if heaven is our home, we're saints. But are we faithful? Are we faithful? We need to be faithful. That's where the joy is going to be found. All right, so that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. In other words, the ability to embrace God's way. Have you ever come to the place where you realize that what you were doing just didn't work? But when you came to understand the way God would have us to do something, and you found joy and peace and happiness in doing it his way. I assure you, there are many, many things in this world, and if we could learn God's way, we'd find more joy and peace and contentment in this life. And so the understanding of how to embrace God's way, spiritual understanding. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than the earth, higher than our ways, than the heavens are higher than the earth. How far is that? You know, there's some powerful telescopes. And it's good. They can look at distant places. And yet the heavens are far beyond that. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to think, to weigh some of the distances to stars and galaxies and so forth that you hear people throwing out about how far it is away to all those things. And if somehow you were able to get out there and look back, you wouldn't even be able to see our solar system, much less our planet, much less you. We think we're so big. In the grand scheme of things, of God's creation, we are so insignificant. Yet God is mindful of us. He loves us. He loved us enough to send the very best, his own son, to suffer and die, to redeem us from our sins, that we, little old we, if I can say it that way, that we can live with him in glory forever. Doesn't that just blow your mind? To think that he would love us so much to do that for us. My goodness. His love must be great. His mercy must be great. And his long suffering. Oh, how tremendous it must be. So we need to be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, the wisdom is here. Somehow, this has to get in here. That's where the understanding happens. This word has to get into our mind. And it takes the enlightening of the Spirit. All right? I know, I've said this before, but I know some people say, well, I just don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. Well, you probably remember my answer to that. Keep reading. Keep reading. And ask the Lord to give you some understanding. And all of a sudden, something will click over here. Maybe something will click over here. And all of a sudden, you'll start being able to put some things together. That's just the way it is. That's how we grow. Line upon line. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Precept upon precept. That's a direct quote out of Isaiah, by the way. Here a little, there a little. That's how we grow. That's how we learn. That's how our understanding opens up. You know, he doesn't just open it all up to it at once. That hasn't been my experience, and nobody I've ever talked to has it been their experience. Even the Apostle Paul, after the Damascus Road experience, he went to the apostles and spent some time with them. He had been trained up at the feet of Gamaliel in all the law. But bless your hearts, we have to grow in our understanding. But I'll tell you this, if you read this word and meditate upon it and pray for understanding, He'll begin to teach you. You can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by reading His Word, so that we can fill in more of the gaps. All right? Now, what will that do for us? Keep reading. Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. I don't have time to really deal in depth with these, but let's get some of the action words, okay? Some of the verbs, I don't know if they're all verbs or not, but some of the action words, some of the words that are significant to us as we go through this. He says that you might walk worthy. Well, if we're filled with the knowledge of His will and we're filling in some of those gaps so that we have a more complete understanding of His will, then that'll help us to walk in ways that's pleasing unto Him, won't it? Sure it will. All right, that just makes perfect sense. All right, that ye walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Now, the Bible, the wisdom of God, as you read and study different passages, especially in the book of Galatians, you'll find that there's a clear distinction made between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh is when we follow the leadership of this old nature that we were born with. They've been with us all our lives. When we were a little tiny baby and we began to cry, you know, there probably wasn't anything wrong, but that old nature just started manifesting itself. That happens sometimes, doesn't it? And you know that's true because sometimes the baby is just bawling his eyes out and you pick them up and they're just fine. Something more than just got a problem. All right? So anyway, you know what I'm talking about. That old nature that's been with us all our lives. But then, he makes a distinction between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit's given, and that's something that has to come from outside of ourselves because it's not in us. I do not believe, and I've never found in the Scripture, that everybody's got that little flame down in them, and if you just fan the flame a little bit, then they'll be faithful. That's not biblical. Makes a good story, but it's not biblical. God, in His own perfect time, sends His Spirit in our hearts, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father. We then have a new life. We then have a new awareness. He doesn't take away the old. That's why we have a conflict between the flesh and the Spirit, but that's what happens. And the more we feed the Spirit, the stronger it will influence us. The better we can walk and not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The more we'll be filled with the Spirit, the more we feed that Spirit, the more we read the wisdom of God, the more we meditate upon it, the more we try to understand it and pray to God for give us understanding and the kind of wisdom that comes with that, then we can bear more fruit of the Spirit. Because the Spirit was given and it begins to bear fruit. But again, that old nature is still with us. It's like Elder Goins, I know I've mentioned this several times here lately, but I think it's 525 in this hymn book, that hymn where Elder Goins wrote it, and one expression that he uses there is that the flesh is still my closest foe. And those are true words, aren't they? It ne'er from me departs. You can't take a vacation from it. It's always there. But so is this. If we treasure it up in our hearts so that we know it, so that we know more of it, so that we understand more of it, so so that we can carry it with us, so that when maybe we don't have our Bible, we still remember some of the scriptures and some of the principles and some of what has been taught us to help us to make our way in this world. The more we have of it treasured up in us, the better off we'll be when in that conflict against the flesh. All right? So when Paul said that you might be, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We need to continue in that, don't we? Need to continue to grow. That's how Peter summed up 2 Peter. The parting words that we have from the Apostle Peter is, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That needs to happen every day. Every day. I know we're busy, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't invest a little time any better than in taking a few minutes to read your Bible. It will be a blessing for you as long as you've got your right mind. I used to say, in all your life, as long as we can remember the Lord. You see, He's given us the foundation because of His grace and what He's done for us. And that foundation of, if we're a saint, we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, heaven will be our home. I tell you, that rejoices my heart every day that I live. He did that for me. It is secure. The blood of Christ will never lose its power to cleanse from sin. But I need help every day. You know, I think recently we talked about how that when our eyes open in the morning, we ought to say, thank you, Lord, for this new day. Help me to do what I can this day to please you, to be a blessing to others. That's how we need to start our day. And throughout our day, we need to remember that. And then when we come to the end of the day, we need to lie down and say, thank you, Lord, for this day, for the blessings of it, for the opportunities we've had to please you. That's keeping our mind on these things. That's filling in the gaps. That we might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the Spirit has to open these things in our heart, all right? So that we can walk worthy unto the Lord and be fruitful and increase in the knowledge of God. Now he goes on. And I'm just going to hit some high spots. Strengthened with all might. Now, whose might is he talking about? If we're going to be strengthened with all might, is he expecting us to be able to be faithful to him in the power of our might? Is he expecting us to be able to stand against the wiles of Satan in our might? We don't have much. Oh, but he has it all. And that's why Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 6, when he's going to teach the lesson about the spiritual armor. Remember that? Finally, my brethren, be faithful in the Lord. Let's see. How's it go? Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now get that. He's saying be strong. But he's not saying be strong in the power of your might. That gets us in trouble. Pride wants us to say, well, I can handle this, Lord. I'll call on you later. No, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And if we're filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, then it'll be in the forefront of our mind that we need the Lord every day and every step and every thought and every action. We need him at all times, don't we? So we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So in the language of Colossians here, it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. He's got enough for you. He's got enough for you. He's got enough for me. He's got enough for anybody that needs it. That's his child and that's calling upon him for it. He can provide it. All right, so to be strengthened. You need any strengthening in the spiritual realm? To resist the Satan's temptations and the temptations of the world and what you have to deal with in this old flesh? I need it. I suspect you do too. All right? Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience. Sounds like to me, patience is something that comes later. Sounds like to me that patience is something that we, as we continue to try to be faithful, as we beg the Lord for help, as we try to resist, strive against sin, as we do those kinds of things, patience is part of that strength that is developed. Anybody here need some more patience? Oh, but we don't like the way it has to be developed, though, do we? This old flesh just... I remember Elder Kenneth Brantley years ago, was the first one I ever heard use the illustration of, you know, faith, and I'd put patience in that same thing. He said, it's like a muscle. You know, you exercise it and it gets stronger. And then as it's stronger, it can accomplish more. Well, I like that. That's what we need, isn't it? We want to be more faithful to the Lord. We want to be more charitable toward others. We want to be stronger in the faith. We want to be more patient. Well, it sounds like to me maybe we need to be exercised in those things so that we can be stronger in his glorious power. That's what we need. All right? Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now listen, in the natural realm, those terms just don't go together. Long-suffering and joyfulness? Uh-uh. In the natural realm, that's just not happening. But in the spiritual realm, patient and long-suffering with joyfulness. If you look at what God has done for us, hasn't he been long-suffering? Hasn't he been patient with us? Now, I'm sure he smacked us a few times when we needed it. Now, you know what I mean. He deals with us in that way which he knows is best. And sometimes it's something that needs to be dramatic, and sometimes it can be a still small voice. But he knows what's needed. And he does discipline his children. If you've been reading the wisdom of God, you understand that's a true principle. But nevertheless, God is so patient. He is so long-suffering. He is so merciful. Now, if we know that that's the way he's been toward us, then we need to be that way toward others. And if we understand that the need is so that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can be strengthened with all might in, by his power, when we understand that that's the process and that's the goal, that can add joy when we're obedient to the word of God and be long-suffering one to another. It can bring joy in our heart rather than frustration. Because we're asking, Lord, help me. I need the strength that comes from you so that I can please you and do that which is pleasing in your sight. That adds joy. When we understand that there's an element of obedience to the will of God, that rejoices the Spirit of God within us, and that brings joy to our soul. Couldn't we use a little more of that every day? All right, so he's given us a process here, but what I want to get to, and I need to close this out. So he says, strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. If you don't remember that we're serving the Lord, you're going to miss the joyfulness. If you're just doing that because you know that that's the right thing to do, you're going to miss the joy. But if we are doing what we do as unto the Lord and not unto men, there can be joy in our heart. Now, verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. From this point, he's going to, well, first of all, he's talking about giving thanks. And the more I've studied the idea of thankfulness, the more I see that thankfulness has a lot to do with how much, many of the gaps we filled in. How complete are we in our understanding of the will of God? How complete and mature are we in understanding that what we need to be doing at all times, we need to be doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men? That'll help us to be thankful. When we remember what he's done for us and why we have this desire to please him, it'll help us to be more thankful. If we forget that it's the Lord that has blessed us to feel this way and have that desire, if we think that we're just doing something to build our own reputation or build our own name or do something for ourselves, we're going to miss the joy, and we're not going to understand that we need to be thanking the Lord as much as we should. A common illustration that we like to make is, you remember when Jesus cleansed 10 lepers? Remember that? Did they all come back to thank him? Only one? Just one? Well, how many should have? All 10 of them. Every one of them and their families ought to have come back and thanked the Lord for that great blessing. But instead, there was just one. That's part of why I believe thankfulness comes the more we fill in the gaps, the more complete we are in understanding the will of God, in understanding that God purposed to save his people from their sins by sending his Son to this world. Jesus, in the fullness of time, Jesus came, and as the Messiah, as the Christ, he went to the cross. He shed his blood. He redeemed us from our sins. He went to the tomb 3 days and three nights later, just like he said. He came forth out of that tomb. He ascended back into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father today to make intercession for us. And he's promised that someday he's coming back to get us. I'll tell you, if you can just remember that foundation, you have something to thank God for every day, every moment of the day. And as we fill in the gaps of understanding the will of God, the more we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the more thankful we'll be for all that we receive each, not just for the hope of heaven, not just for what we have to look forward to after this life is over, but for every breath we breathe, everything that we need every day. By the merciful hand of a loving God, we receive it by his grace. Because we don't deserve any of it. And we need to be busy thanking God because we've missed a lot of thanksgiving along life's pathway. He's given us so much, we thank him so little. I trust that we're more thankful today than we were some time ago, but I pray that every day we live, we'll be giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. In other words, he's qualified us. We weren't worthy of it. We still aren't by our own doings, but by his grace, he's made us meet. He's qualified us. You know, what's that statement? He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that's where we are. If we're saints, let's be faithful. He's enabled us. He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Partakers. Participants. Actively engaged in this kingdom that we have here, this inheritance. We have a kingdom that's available to us right now. Let's honor our King by living according to His rules. Let's do that which is faithful to Him. Let's honor Him. Let's seek His wisdom, and let's pray unto Him and ask for the strength that we need to enable us to live a life that's pleasing in His sight, and thank Him every day for all that we receive, because it's He that has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That is, He's given us an understanding. We need to grow in that understanding. We need to grow in spiritual understanding. And it's the wisdom of God that we need. Now, I know, and just a footnote here, I know there's another place in Scripture where in 1 Corinthians 1:24, I believe it is, Paul says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So in that place, Christ is spoken of as the wisdom of God. But isn't He the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us? And this is the record of that Word. This is the wisdom of God. This is what we need to fill in the gaps in our understanding, praying to Him, asking Him to open the eyes of our understanding, asking Him that we might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. May God help us every day we live to fill in more of the gaps, that we might be more complete as a disciple of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you, is our prayer.